Hey, welcome everybody. It's time for another episode of OC Spotlight, the one show, the only show that shows you the most amazing people doing the most incredible things right here in our own backyard. And today, well, put on your thinking cap. We're going to get a little technical today, but hopefully not too technical for you. We're going to talk about that world that most of us, that dark world we don't even think about, IT, Internet Services. And today we have an expert with us here. Welcome, if you will, George Mulak. Did I say that correctly?
Mulak.
Mulak. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was close enough there. George Mulak from TechnoCare Services right here in Tustin. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you look like a guy of a certain age, kind of my age here, which suggests you've been doing this for a while. And would I be correct in assuming that here?
You are correct. Yes. I've been doing it for, gosh, over 30
years. Let's get
years.
You to move a little closer to
a
the
little 30 years.
30 years. I would suspect the world of IT services has changed a lot. Did you start off working for a company and then create your own, or the opposite? You set up your own and have done that ever since.
Well, I started working for a large corporation, actually Steelcase.
Oh, okay.
I was a key punch operator and got interested in computers and went from there.
Punch operator. Go look that one up, kids, on Google today here. The guys that entered the data literally onto cards, right?
That's right. That's correct. Absolutely.
So somewhere along the way, companies decided that they were going to outsource IT. There still might be a guy at Steelcase that oversees and subcontracts out who's going to set up the computers, who's going to set up the networks, who's going to set up the Wi-Fi, who's going to do all the security and all the other stuff here. But a lot of that is getting shifted off site. For example, when I started in business, every company had a room and they had all their servers in it. That's where they maintained their own.
That's right. We had a huge, huge mainframe. Took a huge 40 by 50 foot space. The floor was raised, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Reel to reel tapes, the
cool
whole
down and all this stuff. And so if something went wrong, if our intranet went out, if our whole network of network computers went out, somebody there immediately rushed and fixed it. More and more they started moving that stuff to the cloud, as they said, Amazon Web Services being the most famous example of that, I think. And when that happened, it seems like they let a lot of IT people go. They were all out on their own then. Is that what you saw along the way here? Somehow the Steelcases of the world weren't hiring
people.
Well,
it's been quite an evolution. We went from huge servers with distributed services to individual servers and networks.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yes, you're absolutely correct. Those companies are outsourcing bits and pieces of things, such as backup or security or
setup even. You've got 50 people and they've all got a laptop and they've all got a desktop,
right,
and they've all got a smartphone. Who handles installing the updates? Who handles choosing the programs and stuff here? Maybe they're creating their own programs and stuff that a lot of these bigger companies aren't using just off-the-shelf stuff. Maybe they're using some combination of things that they're doing. It's gotten more complex, but as it has, it seems to have moved into this world. Do they call it managed services? That's the phrase I've heard over and over again.
Right. And small, businesses are using managed services, and that's where I come in, especially for small and medium business, SMBs.
Right.
I might set up the network. I just set up a network yesterday for a mortgage company. So
here's this mortgage company. They've got a big office or maybe multiple offices. They want to, everybody's got to be on the network. We've got a place to share files. We've got a place to, somebody's got to do the nuts and bolts of getting everybody passwords and logged in and all that kind of stuff and the computers and setting them up and updating them and the program, all that kind of mom and pop stuff. But it's much more than that now. Do you get into creating programs for them or integrating systems? We've got some old legacy system that runs our printers or runs some other specialized equipment, maybe not in a mortgage company, but in a small manufacturing company, and it's got to interface with our data. And do you figure out how to link those things together, or would you bring in somebody else to do that?
Well, it depends on what it is. So I might, for example, I did an eye institute, and they had a lot of special research equipment that I had to link with their network so right. that they could monitor
right.
people's health.
Yeah.
Especially, of course, their eyes.
Exactly.
In this case.
So you have to be more than just a guy who knows computers. You got to know all these different ways to combine them, connect them, and to utilize this infrastructure mm-hmm. to accomplish what it is they want.
And no one knows everything. You know, I don't pretend to know everything. Whatever I don't know, I have the expert for.
I had to look around at our board here. We did a show for about a year with a company called Antares. And Antares is uh-huh. a company that simply makes hardened industrial Ethernet switches. And they've made them for giant stadiums, for traffic control centers here at Irvine, on and on, oil derricks and all this stuff. And these, rather than go to Best Buy and buy a hardened Ethernet switch, they've got this special encased one that can survive at real depths or heights or heat or grease or dirty and everything. It doesn't go down. Because otherwise the whole network fails because of one little switch,
right.
of one little device. And it's been fascinating as they talk about the evolution of building these infrastructures, particularly larger corporate ones or city ones or between multiple
and some
businesses.
Some of those are tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are very special switches. And there's also hardened devices that keep you secure.
So. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about today's need. The two things I hear over and over again, one is setting up the network. I want it all to work. If it doesn't work, my business is out of work. If the offices can't communicate, if they can't access the employee files and the records and the data and the internet and our website and all that stuff, that back end stuff, most of the people have no idea what they're doing. I've had to struggle learning how to be on the internet here and to do all these kinds of things. I need somebody like you. I need to have managed IT care. I bring in people for specialized things, but right. I should have somebody on call because we're trying to be live and on the air and streaming live. Stuff happens. Things go down. Things break. All sorts of stuff. I'm as much in need of your services as everybody else. I admit it here. Now, once you get past getting up and running, two things I hear from businesses over and over again. Let's start with the obvious one, data. We are collecting more data than we ever have before. Mm-hmm. You were telling me you're looking at some of my data, how many people are streaming, watching our YouTube videos. You shocked me with some of the numbers. I probably don't do a good enough job of doing that. I'm the front end of the house. I'm the administrative. I'm the talent. I'm not the back end technocrats. I bring in other people to analyze and look at some of those things. You're looking at how the data gets used, how it's collected, how Google, what kind of data they're looking at, how long do people stay on your site, how often do they come back, what kind of things
That's
you
right.
link to. Data, 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 data. Are we just at the beginning of the data age, or are we already overloaded with data here? What do you think?
Well, of course, many of these companies, Google and Amazon, everything else, is collecting vast amounts of data.
Vast, unbelievable amounts
yes,
of data.
Really, yeah, it's amazing.
And that becomes their business. Really, what they're selling is that data. They're giving you free access to these things, and whether you realize it or not, you're giving away your privacy, your data. So that's been a big pushback in the public and in the business community and the government communities. They have more and more of these privacy acts. California has one. The European Union has one. And you got to, you know, sign on. You got to agree to let them get your data shared. Or in medical world, the HIPAA compliance. So, you know, they have to protect your data. They can't share that you've got some illness here because maybe people won't hire you or will fire you or something or discriminate against you. Data, data, data. Do you do a lot of work with data, collecting data, finding ways to connect these things?
Well, I have to help my clients manage the data.
Yeah.
So they have to keep their data safe. So there's all kinds of compliance. There's, of course, HIPAA.
Right. That's for the health, right?
Right. That's for health.
You really have to protect your patient's records. You can't be casual about it.
A lot of people don't know there's another one called NIST, N-I-S-T.
I didn't know that one. Okay.
That's a lot of – so let's say you're a subcontractor. I have a subcontractor for Boeing mm-hmm. that – Boeing wants him to be NIST compliant. Mm-hmm. So his security is compliant so that Boeing can
be assured that he's not going to be the link that breaks in the network. Years ago, what was it? Not that many years ago, Target famously got hacked. And when they searched, maybe I got this wrong, but the story I heard was in the media was that when they really looked through their system, where was the point of entry? It was a subcontractor, like an air conditioning subcontractor, somebody like that, who they had let into their system because they were monitoring the health, the air conditioning systems and see if they were up and everything else. So they suddenly let them into the system. And because this little air conditioning company didn't have proper security.
Well, your printer can compromise your whole network if it's not configured properly. So you have to be aware of these things and bring somebody in so that you can be safe.
I marvel. Here I am at the University of California, Irvine's Applied Innovation Center, the Beal Applied Innovation Center, multi-story building, top secret stuff, research going on in here.
Right.
You got to go through 14 biometric lockdowns to get here, you know, and sign in and all this stuff. And yet I laugh. If I went on the building right now and if you looked at all the internet capabilities, everybody in the building here, all these different offices and suites, all has their own router, has their own protected internet. The building itself has internet available to people who walk in. But what's unprotected in so many cases is the darn printer. I put a printer over there in the back, and did I think to hook that up and put a password on that, or is that give? It's on my network, and it's unprotected. Anybody can access the printer.
Right.
Talk about the other one. So we're moving into from data into the Internet of Things. This idea that everything is going to be connected in your office and in your home. As silly as it sounds, your refrigerator now in your house.
I was just thinking of that. Exactly. The refrigerator, you can check inside your refrigerator and see if you got milk or not.
Right. Exactly. And so you think, well, what a cool thing, except that refrigerator may be the point of entry into your home system, how they hack in and break down the whole thing. And they could do this driving by your house or something.
Or your IT camera.
Or your IT camera, or your door, ring,
your ring doorbell,
your ring doorbell, all these kinds of things.
Actually, that's probably more secure because it's going through another service.
Is it okay? Yeah. But again, this idea that all these things are now on the internet and they're all I'm giving them permission into my network, which how you can get into my laptop and get into my bank records and get into my personal files and whatnot. Same thing in business. All these things are going to be connected. Again, going back to the Terry show. They talk about the miles and the millions of things that are connecting in a factory, for example. Mm-hmm. All those robotic pieces and all those machines, not just the laptops and the cell phones and all the other stuff, but all those little pieces of equipment, some of them very expensive pieces of equipment. Are they all properly connected? And they're not all using even the same software. That must be a challenge because you've got some people, go to a big company, even a mortgage company, well, we still use this old Windows 95 computer for some reason. And then over here, we've got some other kinds of systems. And then over here, we've got some specialized program that we wrote in open source or something here. You're trying to make all this stuff work together, and it was accumulated over years, these old legacy systems and modern systems. Is that a challenge?
Well, it's always a challenge. That's why I'm here, you know. But
if it was easy, we wouldn't need you.
Yeah, we get it done. So there you go.
So where do you find the most need? You focus on SMB, small to mid-sized businesses.
Right.
When they call you up, what are they calling for?
I think most of them are concerned about security. Mm-hmm. That's really a thing that drives them because they have to be compliant. Like I said, HIPAA or NIST or something like that.
And are they worried about security for their customers? Or are they worried about getting hacked and taken down? Or even, God forbid, ransomware? You get this note from somebody in Belarus and they say, sorry, it's $1 million if you want to go back up here or something. And
those ransomwares literally rake in millions upon millions of dollars. I think what was it? I think there was just a county locally, I think, in California.
I think there was somewhere, yeah.
That just paid millions of dollars for.
Well, wasn't it the big casino in Vegas? What was it? The
That's true.
That MGM too. Or somebody like that. Sorry, don't send me a nasty notice, MGM. Whoever it was a big casino, and they got hacked, and they said, we can't be down. Our customers can't get in the rooms. The machines don't work. The reservations don't work.
Yeah, even there's no keys anymore. You've got a card.
Yeah.
RFID and...
no keys in this building. Yeah, exactly.
Right, and there you go. So
they paid it rather than try and figure it out. Or didn't they pay it? I forgot.
Well, for most of my clients, I have systems in place where if something happened, I was in an accounting office. I was working on the computer, and the receptionist says, "Oh no!" And she was a sweet girl. She said, "I did something wrong." She was having a blue screen because she had ransomware. Oh, she had clicked on a photo from Nigeria.
Which I made a laugh at, but...
We laugh, but there's
people do it. I've probably done stupid things like
there's
that.
There's literally whole cities that are full of hackers that are targeting different industries.
And they have nothing to do. This is their job. They sit there 24/7 in these farms. They pay people pennies, and they sit there like monkeys on a computer. I'm sorry to use that image.
Well, no, they're pretty knowledgeable, actually.
But they just almost chain them to these computers, and they just sit here and and hack away at this stuff here and try and see where they can get
it. It's a real issue.
So in a world with more and more reliant on the internet, more and more data and more laws regulating the data and more unsecured devices being added to this thing, you got to be in the catbird seat. Your business has got to be zooming and booming here. You're the one we can't do without.
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating. I love it.
Is it just you, or do you have lots of employees? Are you just the guy that comes riding in and solves the problem and leaves? Do you have managed contracts with him where they get to call on you?
We have managed contracts, and I have several people that work with me, so we have everything covered, so it's great.
And what kinds of business? Do you focus on certain types of businesses?
Yes, I do. That's a good question. Thank you for that.
Because that was one of the confusions I have.
I focus on accounting.
Okay.
Business, small to medium accounting business.
Okay.
Because they have a huge security need.
Right.
And a good networking need, and lawyers.
Lawyers, I would think,
yeah. Yeah, wow. Lawyers have some real issues. If they lost their data, they could lose licenses and all kinds of things.
And lose the case. And where did all the files go?
So we put systems in place, hopefully, if they agree on a manage the contract, where if they go down, can you imagine an accounting office if they went down during tax season with two or three people earning $300 or $400 an hour?
Yeah.
And all that downtime for a day if they went down or more?
That's what I've heard.
They would lose their business, yeah.
I've heard more and more people say, I can't afford to be down. I'm an internet radio station. Our whole thing is live streaming these things. I can't have people come in and say, sorry, today the internet's down.
Exactly.
Sorry, my equipment is down here.
Exactly.
So what we do, and I suspect what most people do, is we have backup on backup on backup.
That's right.
We have ways that... I have worked out through the years a variety of programs and computers and other things. If this one fails or this software fails or something's done, I can quickly adapt. I can switch to this computer. I've got another way to get on. I've got another way to access. We've got two or three ways to get on. Even as silly as I pay for a little hotspot on my cell phone, one time a whole building went down, and like blocks and blocks went down. But I was able to pivot and still go live because I switched our equipment to the hotspot through my phone.
Exactly.
As crazy as that sounded, that got us on the air and live for those couple hours while the whole city block was blacked out here.
I know. I had another accounting office. The lady had a Microsoft Exchange server, and the owner of the building could not understand why she couldn't go down, why the server couldn't go down. So I had the server in the parking lot monitoring the server while they changed the carpet.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, yeah, there you go.
So we live in a world, and particularly for SMBs like me,
right,
like you, we have a passion. I'm a radio guy. I was in real radio for a million years. I love the art of talking. I love storytelling.
Right.
And I understand the business of operating a radio station, either a virtual one or a real live one, a terrestrial one. And yet, that doesn't mean, and I understand recording equipment. I understand mics. They haven't changed that much in 30, 40, 50 years. I understand editing. I understand the ins and outs of audio. And a little bit about video, too. What I don't understand is how to take all this stuff, link it together, collect it, stream it out in the world, how to measure it, how to monitor. I've had to teach myself how to do a lot of that stuff.
And well, you're talking a lot of web stuff that you've got going on. So that needs to be...
I built my own website using Wix. That sounds silly, you know, that kind of stuff. And yes, clearly many times the kind of corporate clientele we have, I think, we should do a major overhaul, our website, our procedures, all this kind of stuff. We should probably figure out it. But I've jury-rigged it so it works, you know, and it's been going on for 15 years now here. And I'm an old guy, and I say, it's working. I suspect a lot of big SMBs, multi-million-dollar SMBs, if I went back there with you, I'd be shocked at how jury-rigged the whole thing is. It's held together like MacGyver by paper clips and old things and half-assed systems that probably should be rooted out, ripped out, and redone from scratch.
And I've met a lot of IT guys that want to just come in and redo everything. And that certainly is a way to do it. But that's hard on a small to medium business if you don't work with them to gradually renovate that and get that moving in a direction. And that's the key.
Yeah, exactly.
To work with people, to care for people. In their current need.
Well, you said something silly to many, but I think I take it serious. And you said you try and use technology to care for people.
That's right.
I didn't
people
think...
and businesses, yeah. Because you can, I mean, if you don't care, God help us, what if a doctor didn't really care about his patient? You know, you cut the wrong place, and there you go. It's
but
the same thing.
Listen to our show this morning, Health Talks, with Dr. Trin. He's on the board of Alzheimer's. He does a show where he talks about medical care today in general,
right. And
specifically Alzheimer's and other things. But we had a whole debate this morning here about, does doctors really care? I mean, yes, on some level they care. I get it. But do they care about me? Do they care enough to spend time with me? No, because they can't. Do they care enough to call me back and follow up and see if how well I've done? Do they care enough to communicate with the other specialists? Well, they're on different systems and different computers and different things here. They want to care, but there is a general feeling among many patients out there, I don't think you care much. It's like an auto mechanic. I go in, you fix the tire, you rotate the tire, and I leave. I don't feel that they care. I just think they give a good quality of service and for what I need.
But, well, it doesn't feel like it when they spend 10 or 15 minutes with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the same thing. My wife had a car, we'll give a little shout out to, she had a little Mini Cooper up in the dealership up in Santa Ana. And they took the time when she had several problems with the car and they kept taking it in. And they would take the time through a camera to shoot some video of the mechanic under the car saying, here's what I see. See that? Look at how this is and this. I think that's the problem. We're going to need to replace this. Rather than the typical scenario, here's a long list of things we found. And you think, maybe they're making it up. Now, I hate to say that, but...
This is a great example of that IoT of things. The technology we have now in our phones and cameras and stuff like that, we can do
so
that.
So suddenly they created a trust level. I don't know if they're really any better at diagnosing problems than anybody else, but they made me feel better. Like the old days, the guy would pull out the part and show you, and you say, hey, that looks pretty dirty. I don't know much about cars, but okay, go ahead and fix it. As opposed to today, I can't even look at my car. I don't know what's under there. It's just a big block of computers and things and stuff, and they say...
Usually three or four computers.
Yeah, and they say, this one under there is bad, and it's $700, and what do you want to do? And I can't say no. And of course, they've done consumer reports, and sometimes these things are a little padded, and maybe they're outright fraudulent. I don't want to suspect people, but they don't convince me. I don't feel like I really understand the problem anymore. And the same thing in my IT. The guy comes in and says, well, here it is. You need all these big money to fix this thing. And you're like, I don't know. Do you really care about me, or are you just trying to milk me for all I'm worth here? Do you ever get that feeling from clients that they feel like you're just trying to convince them to do more than they need to do, or do they understand the complexity and the difficulty of this?
I think that's one of the wonderful advantages, because I try to explain it in as simple terms as possible and yet be technical enough so that they understand. And then,
yeah, right.
And they feel comfortable that way.
Well, my hat's off to you. I won't take my hat off right now here, but my hat's off to you. If you can use technology to care for people, too often I think people are we're the slave to the machine. You know, the machine's fault. It broke. What do I do? My wife goes home and says, it's the machine's fault. And I'm like, no, I think it's the operator's fault, too. We don't understand these machines. We can't work without them. And so, therefore, we feel a certain enslaved to them almost. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm getting too...
That's why I love to explain it.
Yeah.
I love to explain it to people so that they do understand, that they feel like they're in control again, which
exactly.
is why...
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to sound like a bad sci-fi movie, but sometimes we feel like, who's control? Is this to serve me, or am I here just to
serve them?
No.
We want the technology... to serve the individual and the business, because the businesses are individuals.
And so many times, have you heard? I hear this all the time. What even if I'm at the auto dealership or something, or the dentist's office, it's something they're trying to do, it's not working. The computer's not opening. The other day, I was trying to open a new bank account, and the teller is there trying to figure it out, and she has to get on the helpline. What am I doing wrong here? This isn't allowing me to do something. And they all give you the same shrug, and they look at it and they go, technology. And we all groan and go, yeah, technology, especially if you're of a certain age. Oh, yeah, technology. It's supposed to make life easier. All it's done is make life more difficult. That's why people like you can make it easy again, right?
That's right.
And I would think if you could do that for me and for others, you must have continuing contracts. You're not out just trying to...
I have to
relationships,
right? It has to be sustainable.
All right, well, anything else you want? Let's tell us where your business is located. It's TechnoCare. It says it all. You not only know TechnoCare, TechnoCare, you not only know about the tech, you care.
That's right.
And you can take care of it, and you care about what's happening. I think that's a brilliant name here. George, how do you say your name again? Mulek?
Mulek, yeah.
Mulek, okay. George Mulek from TechnoCare, right here in Tustin. Is that where you're based?
Yes, I am.
And do you work all over the area or just in that?
I focus mostly on Orange County, but I can service almost anywhere, especially a lot of the maintenance work is done remotely now.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, if you're just going into the cloud and tapping into and trying to figure out why this isn't working or what's not connecting, you don't have to drive out to the facility all the time to fix stuff
anymore. Not all the time, yeah. I know I have some friends who are monitoring 5 gas stations from Texas.
See, somebody's got to figure out. And when the pump goes down, they go, I don't know, technology. Oh, boy. Yeah. And they all groan, and we go, yeah, technology here. Thank you for coming on and sharing a little light on this. It is only going to get more complex as we get more data and more devices connected to our network, and as security becomes a bigger thing. We'll go over one more minute. I'm going to ask you one more question about security. I had somebody come in 2 years ago. They were I don't know what you call them, but the companies hire them to try and hack into their systems
right.
and find the breaches.
Hackers, yeah.
And they basically go in and try and figure out the weaknesses in your system.
Right.
And they stress test it and see if they can break it. And this guy claimed he did like Citibank and Visa and the big companies like that. He said, sooner or later, I can break into just about any one of them. If not me, somebody can. So it's almost impossible to keep everybody out. The question is, do you know they entered your system, and how do you respond quickly? How do you work around it?
There's a key. That's a very important question, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So I do that monitoring so that, again, I can keep you safe.
Yeah, because in a world where I can't keep everybody out of my house, then I better know they're in my house real quickly.
That's true, yes.
And that's, I thought, that's a real honest, because we have this perception, no, I'm going to build a moat around my house. Nobody's going to ever enter my house. Well, if they really want to get in, they probably can.
They can,
So
yes.
Then how quickly do you know? How quickly do you respond? How quickly do you adapt? How quickly do you change? all
and
that
do you
stuff.
Have a plan for that?
And do you have a plan for that, exactly? Or do you just run around like Chicken Little, the sky
right,
is falling?
Right, you're just ignoring it like, you know, so many things we do.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, good. Well, it's a scary world. It's a world, I feel like, what's the three monkeys? Hear no evil, say no evil, speak no evil. I think many of us just want to stick our head in the sands. I feel I take the minnow philosophy to security. I'm swimming in a sea with a million other small businesses, minnows, and the shark's swimming around, and every so often the shark eats a few. But the odds are there's millions of us, and maybe I won't get eaten because I'm in a big pool of them here.
Yeah, of course. We don't want to be casualties. So,
well, thank you for being there and on the spot. Are you on call all the time, or do you have ways that you monitor? It must be, you know, depending on different contracts
just,
and different needs.
Just go to technocare.com and contact me. I'm going to be glad to help.
And we spell that TECKNOW care. TECKNOW care.com. Thank you, George, for joining us and for making us a little safer. And I hope you'll stick around. Maybe you'll give me some ideas of how I could make this thing safer here. And
no problem.
Things we can do. Appreciate you coming in today here.
All right.
All right. Well, there we go, folks.
Thank you.
One more reason to stay tuned in each and every time to OC Spotlight. I'm telling you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you have any questions or any concerns, call George. Find out. He seems to know the tech and he seems to care. And maybe, just maybe, keep you up and running in a world that's very unsafe and very uncertain. The whole world of IT.